his left. Tough shot. Made it. End of the line.
Bad pass. Tipped away, and Indiana's got it. Up the floor to Oladipo. He will lay up. Scores!
Jones. Watford for the win. Yes!
It's Indiana. It's Indiana.
Welcome back, Hoosier Nation, to another season of Podcast on the Brink. It's been way too long since our last show. So good to be back. Matt Dollinger here. As usual, I'm joined by my co-host, Greg Rosenstein. What's going on, buddy?
Not too much. Excited for another season. How about you?
I am very excited to do it. We haven't done a show in almost 6 months, and the Hoosiers are now the preseason number one. That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
It's really amazing because just a few years ago, this was a team made up mostly of walk-ons. You and I covered maybe the worst two seasons ever, and now they're preseason number one. I really can't believe it.
It's pretty surreal to, you know, be reading previews of the season and everyone's talking about the Hoosiers and Cody Zeller. You can't look at a preview for the college basketball year without IU popping up, and it's been a long time since it's been that way, and the Hoosiers are really going to be in the spotlight all year.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think this podcast is going to be good. We're going to hit on a variety of topics at least once a week, probably at least twice a week once the Big Ten play starts, and we're excited to kind of bring you this content each week.
Yeah, and to lead off this season, we figured we would do a special edition for our first episode. In honor of the presidential debates tonight, Greg and I are going to do our own debate on today's show, hosted none other by Chronic Hoosier, and we're just going to kind of go over some of the most pressing questions headed into the season and, go toe-to-toe, see who's got it, RG3 or Luck.
I'm hoping I don't bomb like the Nationals did last week.
Yeah, well, my Braves didn't do much better, so I wasn't going to bring that up, but I'm happy you did. But
I'm over baseball.
I'm so over baseball, so ready for basketball season. This is Hoosier Hysteria Week. Tips off Friday night in Assembly Hall. We still got a little under a month until the first game on November 9th, but season is really, really coming around the corner. We had the televised practice on ESPNU last week. Did you catch that, Greg?
Yeah, I did. It was pretty exciting. I think it's good exposure for recruits to be able to kind of watch that. Korean was really getting into them early. You know, you look at some of these other programs, they're having fun, Midnight Madness. It was kind of refreshing to see Indiana just get right to work. I know, they're pushing it back a week so students could kind of be on campus and attend, but, they really got down to business right away, and pretty exciting to see what they were up to.
I thought that practice was more exciting than some of the games I covered in person, actually. I mean, it was just fun to watch that collection of talent on the floor. I mean, we've heard all these guys talked about for so long, and it's just nice to actually see them on the court, even if it is just in drills and everything. But, man, that says something about where IU basketball is if their practices are being nationally televised.
Oh, I definitely agree. Was there anything that stood out to you, anything in particular you saw? I know it was just a generic practice, but what kind of stood out to you in that?
You know, I loved the drills right off the bat when Victor Oladipo was D'ing people up one-on-one. I think he stopped Austin and I think Hollowell on back-to-back plays,
right.
And the intensity there was great. I mean, I'm guessing all those guys knew the cameras were there. They probably were stepping it up a little bit, but you've got to love that kind of intensity in the first practice of the year. And guys, you know, they don't look rusty. If anything, they looked more in mid-season form than anything.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think also just physically, a lot of these guys looked a lot bigger than they were last year, and also you got to think. A lot of the question was, is Yogi, strong enough to compete as a point guard in the Big Ten right away? He looked a lot bigger than, I guess, what he was in high school. You look at Hunter, he has, like, bigger shoulders than my entire body. So, I don't know. You gotta like kind of what they've done, I guess, hitting the weight room, especially Cody, because I think that was maybe the biggest thing for Cody. You know, can he go back on there and compete with some of these bigger post players? And he definitely seemed to add some weight.
Yeah, and he's not the only tall guy on the team anymore. Now that Hanner and Peter are around as well, he's actually going to have some guys to go against in practice.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to help. They have a lot more depth than last year. They really didn't lose that much from last year. That's why the expectations are so high. First practice, I think, looked really good. And, there's a reason for all this optimism.
Well, I don't really feel like waiting any longer, Greg. I'm just ready to dive into this debate. Honestly, I've been licking my chops for a week, ready to have a chance. I think I'm going to win. Let's get Chronic Hoosier on the line. We've got to get him on here. I think there can't be any better source of IU basketball than Chronic, so he's the perfect guy to moderate this debate. All right, welcome back, everybody. Ready to get this debate started. We have got Chronic Hoosier on the line, the moderator, the man, the myth, the legend. What's going on, buddy?
Just another beautiful day in Bloomington in the fall. Can't complain.
How is it? Can you sense the excitement in the air with Hoosier Hysteria coming up this Friday?
It is certainly palpable. It's pretty bright days right now. Everybody's really excited about it. The weather is beautiful. It's turned into one of those picturesque fall type seasons. We're actually having some really warm temps right now. You can feel it in the air for sure, though. It's Bloomington at its best.
Well, this podcast is coming out on Tuesday. When can I expect you to start lining up at Assembly Hall for Friday?
I was just making arrangements. By chance, are either of you guys going to be in town?
Unfortunately not.
No, neither of us are making it up there.
You're going to wish you would. I'll leave it at that.
I know, especially when I pay the Big Ten Network $6 to watch it.
I'm going to steal Matt's password.
Especially when Grandma Chronic decides to come take the children for the week. It's going to be good times.
Oh, nice. I'm happy to hear you've made arrangements already. Well, hey, like we were saying earlier, it's been 6 months since we've done this show. You know, the Sweet 16 was a pretty nice way to go out last season, but preseason number one is a pretty amazing way to start this year. I'm guessing you're thinking along the same lines.
I'm really excited about it. It's the preseason rankings, we'll probably get into that here later. There's a lot of hype being made about what our number is and the fact that it's a number. Throw all that stuff out the window. The fact of the matter is we've got a great basketball team in Assembly Hall right now. It's just the sky's the limit for these guys. I think it's one of those moments that I really haven't experienced personally on this level since the early 90s. When you just know that you're going to have one of the best basketball teams on the court any given night, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and so we've got a lot to talk about today. So, I just want to go ahead and dive in to give you guys a quick idea of what we're going to be doing. As I mentioned before, Chronic will be moderating. Greg and I will be debating. We've got 8 topics to go over. Chronic will declare a winner after every round. You can just get used to saying my name if that makes things easier right now. I don't know whichever one you prefer. Greg will give it his best shot. Let's be nice to him. He's a nice guy. You know, don't rip him on the message boards or don't rip him on the Inside the Hall premium form. That's right. That's a plug. That's a plug. You like that?
I like that.
I'm a pro. Let us know what you guys think and feel free to chime in with your own answers on the comments section. But Chronic, you ready to get this going?
I am most certainly ready. How about yourselves?
We are ready. Lead us off.
Let's get started then. First thing, I want to establish some ground rules with you guys. Unlike some of those factless, substanceless debates that we've seen here recently on television, this is going to be all about substance. I want quantitative math. I want you guys to show your logic here. Secondly, there are no points that are going to be made for maintaining proper decorum.
Good.
In fact, we actually are going to encourage ridiculing, mocking, and otherwise interrupting. But most importantly, please remember that the moderator's opinion is always infallible and respected at all times. So with that said, let's begin. Let's start with Greg on this one. Greg, who do you think should start in IU's backcourt?
Right now, I would say it should be Yogi Ferrell and Jordan Hulls. I think when you look at it, the only major problem with that is they're both pretty small. Yogi's only about 5'11", Jordan's 6 foot. So if you're sliding Jordan to the shooting guard spot, he's going to probably cover guys 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". So defensively, it could be a little bit of an issue. But at the same time, I think you gotta have Yogi at least get considerable minutes, probably start, because you know he's a point guard that they really haven't had in years. I think he's an upgrade from Verdell Jones. I mean, he's smaller, but he is a completely different point guard. He could get in the lane, he could dish. You want Jordan to kind of be on that wing because he shoots 49% from three. So if Yogi could get in the lane, cause the defense to collapse and he could kick it out to Jordan or whoever else is on the wing, I think that's a major upgrade from last year. And then I guess he'd probably have Victor at the three, which means Sheehy will come off the bench, but I don't see that being an issue at all because he's used to that. He knows his role in this team. I think defensively, Yogi is a good on-ball defender. So I think he shouldn't have much of an issue in terms of guarding the other team's point guard. But I definitely think he kind of changes everything offensively. And I would definitely have Yogi at the one and Jordan at the two.
Matt, how about yourself?
Well, Chronic, I'd like to start off today by first saying you look great, and I appreciate you coming on this show.
I appreciate you having me.
Second of all, I'd like to point out that Greg is a fan of RG3 and not Andrew Luck. In fact, he hates the Colts. Third of all, I'd like to get to the answer. Greg, I'm not surprised you're going with Yogi and Jordan Hulls as your starting backcourt for one reason. Like both of them, you are height-challenged. IU needs to go a little bigger if they're going to want to stay number one the whole season. I think they need to start Yogi and Victor Oladipo in the backcourt. Nothing against Jordy Hulls. I just think between him and Yogi, he's more fitted to come off the bench. You know, great offensive spark plug. If Yogi gets in trouble as a freshman, maybe with some ball handling mistakes, you bring Hulls in off the bench to steady the ship. You know, like you said, Yogi and Hulls are going to have trouble playing defense against Big Ten teams. That's why I think you go with your best defender, get Oladipo in there right away, bring Sheehy and Hulls off the bench. You know, I guess Oladipo and Sheehy are interchangeable in the backcourt, but I really like Oladipo going against, you know, the best shooting guards in the league. I think you might as well get him in the starting lineup. I think he's going to have a huge leap this year, just like he did last year. And as Coach Crean was saying on the televised practice the other day, he's been working on his ball handling all summer. So I think it's going to be a much better season for him in the backcourt. Like I mentioned earlier, Greg likes RG3. So I don't know. What do you think, Chronic?
I think he started 10 points in the hole just for being a DC sports fan in general.
Yes.
Although I will give Greg credit where credit's due, his timeline has not been just this mopey weepy stream of DC pain. So
I've held back. I've been crying a lot on the inside. I haven't posted anything about it though.
I've been impressed by that. Before I get to my answer though, Matt, who's your starting three?
Well, that is a good point. You know, I guess actually I would start Oladipo and Sheehy together and make Hulls the sixth man because I just love the dynamic of Oladipo and Sheehy playing defense together. I mean, those two guys stop the ball. And, you know, we saw another glimpse of it in the practice the other day. I just think you put those two together on the perimeter and you're just going to shut down teams. And
so you have Yogi at the one.
I have Yogi at the one, yes. And Jordy coming
off the
bench.
Just for clarification, you are from Bloomington, Indiana, correct?
That is correct.
So you want to have a birth certificate to prove it. You want to start out the senior for the senior that started the last couple of years from Bloomington off the bench for a point guard.
Well, I did go to Bloomington North and he went to Bloomington South. So there is some disagreement.
All right, I'm going to stop this right now. We're not getting into high school rivalries. We've moved past that. That being said,
some of us, yeah.
That being said, I think the proper answer here, gentlemen, is it depends. I believe the proper starting lineup is going to depend on the matchups that the opposing teams are presenting. I think the starting lineup is going to depend on the chemistry of the rotations that starts to gel early in the season here in the non-conference portion of it. I think you both raised some valid points. I like Greg's idea of going a little bit smaller and putting Victor as a starter in the three for the defensive reasons. Crean's really emphasized the fact that these guys all need to defend multiple positions. So where you're starting and where you fit into the offense might not necessarily directly relate to who you're marking on defense. That being said, there's certainly a lot to be said for the depth of this rotation, and I think Crean's going to have a lot of work on his hands trying to figure out what combinations come together the best on court from both an offensive and a defensive side. Obviously, the offense is there and it's very potent. And defensively, as we all know, there's certainly strides to be made. That being said, he's got to find a rotation where these guys are going to be able to make it all click together. The ball's got to keep moving on offense and the hands have to be up and on bodies, on defense. So the proper answer is it depends. I will give Matt a half a point for that one.
Half a point. I will take it.
So do I get the other half point?
No. No, you're at negative 9.5 right now. You got a half point out closer to being out of the hole.
That's okay. Right. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. Moving on, which freshman besides Yogi is going to make the biggest impact this season?
I'll take that one first. I'm going with Jeremy Hollowell, and I think it's amazing how little we're talking about him. I guess it's because IU's roster is so loaded. You've got upperclassmen to talk about. But we all know that the freshman class is really, you know, the marquee group of players coming in this year. And Hollowell is kind of getting swept under the rug because of the excitement for Yogi Ferrell. But this is a guy who's a top 30 recruit and normally would be the prized possession, the prized freshman coming in. Instead, we're focusing on Yogi. But Jeremy, I think, is going to be one of the best small forwards to play at IU in recent memory. And unlike, you know, a lot of other guys on our team, Jeremy's extremely versatile. He's going to do a lot of different things. A lot of guys on IU's roster have a very defined role. You know, Kareem needs them to do one or two things. I think Hollowell's a guy who could be asked to do a lot of different things, and I think is kind of Kareem's utility man off the bench. I do think he's not going to get as many minutes right off the bat with Sheehy and Oladipo in front of him. But there's a good chance IU's going to win a lot of games this season by double digits. So don't be surprised if Hollowell gets in there, plays 20 minutes, surprises people, and starts, you know, eating into the rotation by the end of the season.
Greg, I agree. I agree. I like Hollowell a lot. I think he's going to be an important player for this team this year and in the next few years probably. But I think after Yogi, I think Honor is the most important freshman. A lot of it is based on position. I think, you know, Jeremy is a great player, but like you said, he's kind of a little farther back on the depth chart as a wing player. They have a bunch of solid wings. I think you need post presence because Cody is really, you know, he's the main guy down low. And then after that, you kind of got limited options because if you think about the guys who are 6'8 or taller on this team, you have Zeller, you have Peter Jerkin, you have Honor Perea, Watford, Hollowell, and Derek Elston. And if you look at that, only Honor, Peter and Cody are pure like post players. You know, you look at Watford and Elston, they like to shoot mid-range or even further back, kind of spread the floor, which is good, but they're not pure post players. And I think Honor's a guy that could kind of go in there, you know, bang on the inside with some of these bigger guys. I mean, he's a little raw offensively, but at the same time, he has the defensive ability to kind of, you know, to block shots, alter shots. And, you know, if you look at Cody, he's not going to be able to play every minute of the game. You're going to need him to come out and have somebody who could play that five spot. And Jerkin, you know, he could be that guy, but, you know, right now he might be injured. You might not, you know, you don't know exactly what you're going to get. So I think Honor is a pretty good option for kind of coming off the bench and being that post threat that you need. So I like Hollowell, but I think, you know, in terms of what this team needs, I think Honor might have a bigger role this year.
As we said before we got on, I don't know that there's necessarily a right answer or a patently wrong answer to any of these. I think, as you guys both mentioned, Hollowell, in my opinion, is the best basketball player on this team, other than Yogi, in the freshman class, obviously. I think Hollowell is overall the best basketball player. As Matt said, he's extremely versatile. He's just really long. He's got a great game to him. He's like a high motor Watford, in my opinion. That being said, though, I'm not so sure. While Honor is a freak of nature and he's probably the most athletically gifted player we've seen in I don't know how long. I don't know that we've ever seen someone this athletically gifted.
Yeah.
The kid's a freak of nature. That being said, I'm really concerned about the injury he had this summer and the fact that he spent the majority of the offseason in the boot. The fact that he wasn't, not only was he not able to go through the conditioning, but especially this year when they were given the 2 hours a week with the coach to get that work in and get that training, because he is very raw. We've seen that. We're all aware of that. And there's just been this assumption that his athleticism can kind of make up for all that difference and then some. That being said, though, that time to catch up and get up to speed, even with the rest of his classmates, that could be a critical loss for him. So it'll be really interesting to see where he comes in and how quickly he hits a stride. All that said, I think from a value added standpoint, I think Jerkin could perhaps be, maybe not the biggest impact as far as box score, but the significance and what he brings to the court and the dynamics of his contributions on the court, I think could be the biggest. Cause like you said, Greg, we don't have a lot of guys that are true post players. And one thing about Jerkin is while he may be very raw, as well, he's a very defensively minded player. He loves to block shots. He loves to alter shots. He has no problem getting up high and high pointing rebounds. I mean, the guy's just got crazy, crazy length. You know, and if Kareem can really get him to kind of focus some of that in where he can at least be a distributor in the post, even in the high blocks, on offense, that allows the offense to really not skip a whole lot on those times when Cody does need to go sit down or, you know, when he's in foul trouble or what have you. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, though, all the freshmen bring something that could be really meaningful to this team's success this year. Aside from the freshmen on this team, who do you think is going to be the biggest X factor? Let's go back to you, Greg.
Whoa, you've got to declare a winner from the past round first. You got everybody on the edge of their seat.
I'm sorry, I apologize. I'm going to give you guys both a point on that one. I think, like I said, there is definitely no wrong answer there, and I think both those guys, you know, assuming that Hunter can achieve his potential, he could be really, really big for us on the blocks.
Fight to a draw. I'm okay with that.
One point for each of you guys.
Fair.
Greg, who's going to be the biggest X factor?
Okay, in terms of biggest X factor, if I had to choose one, I'd probably say Victor. And I know that might be slightly obvious, but, you know, in the non-Yogi, non-Cody category, I think he's probably going to be the most important player. You know, we saw last year that he really broke out. I think he's probably the best perimeter defender on this team. He's likely to guard the opposing team's best player no matter what in terms of guards. And so I think he is vital. I think, you know, he's great at getting to the rim. He is really probably the flashiest guy in this team. I mean, he's going to throw down that dunk that pumps up the crowd, gets everyone into it. I think his biggest thing this year is whether he could develop a jump shot. You know, like I said, he could get to the hoop with ease. But if he could start hitting that mid-range shot, hitting the three-point shot, I think he has the potential to be a first-round NBA draft pick. And I think also if I had to guess, I'd say he's probably the most vocal leader on this team. I think Jordan Holes does a pretty good job, but he's a little more on the quiet side. Cody's the best player on this team, but I mean, as we all know, he doesn't seem to talk that much. He's more of a quiet guy, just does everything right on the court. I think Victor's the guy that's really going to bring it this year. So if I had to choose an X factor, I'd probably go Victor.
Matt, who's your guy?
I'm going with Big Bird. No, I'm not going with Big Bird. despite his wingspan, I'm not going with Big Bird. I'm going with Maurice Creek, who is a guy I think is we all forget about. But let's go a little bit back to Maurice Creek's freshman year, which I was fortunate enough to cover. He was a beast. He was IU's best player. He led the team in scoring with 16 points per game. He put 31 on Kentucky, had 29 in another game. He scored in double digits in 9 of the 12 games he played that year. Since then, he's barely played any basketball. You know, when watching him play in practice the other day was really the first time I'd seen him shoot in years, it felt like. And you saw the heavy knee braces on both knees. He's definitely going to come back a slightly different player than he once was. But if he's able to even be a fraction of the player he was for IU as a freshman, he's going to be an incredible addition. I mean, this is a guy who was the number one option on the floor when he was a freshman. Now, all he's going to be asked to do is basically be the fourth option on the floor. Let other guys space the floor. Let other guys penetrate and get into the lane. All he's going to be asked to do is hit open threes. And I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of them for him to shoot this year if he's able to stay healthy. You know, he's got the size to shoot over opponents. He has experience. He's not a freshman. He's played in games before. I really think that we're kind of forgetting about him since there's so many players to talk about, but if Maurice Creek's able to contribute this year, that's a huge addition, and I think he's the biggest X factor heading into the year.
I think he has the most potential to, you know, really have a breakout year, but there's so many questions with him that, I don't know, you just really don't know what to expect. I mean, yeah. I really should side with him as a DC guy, but...
That's true.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I like your thing, but the argument that he was the best player on that team, you know, I could have played on that team when you covered them. So.
You were the second best player. You were the second best player.
I'm going to cut the BS off right there when Greg starts being the best on any team.
yeah, that's a good point. I'm sorry.
Even if we're playing in a midget league, Greg, you're still not the second best player on the team.
I could be the center.
You're not the second best player on your team when you play one-on-one.
Ouch.
The thing with Mo, and you know, first Greg, that was a very unfeathery response for you not to pick him, and that has been noted as well. Mo's probably the greatest story in college basketball from a sentimental side. He is, to me, he's Robbie Hummel and then some. I mean, the kid, like you said, Matt, he came out and just lit it up in the gym and had so much promise. And in a season where we really needed just something to cling on to and to hope that there was going to be better days, that there was somehow going to be a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, he certainly shined the brightest on that. and the injuries have just been devastating year after year. It's been tough. So the fact that he's still in Cook Hall every day grinding it, you know, that he kept a scholarship this year when things were a little bit fuzzy. A lot of people were speculating whether or not he might get kind of directed towards another program. But as we later learned, you know, Green views him like a son. So there's certainly a lot of heartstrings to be pulled with that story. The challenge with Mo and Victor, I think, though, is both of those guys are in a position that if they're not bringing it, if they're not performing up to where Green wants to see, whether it's, you know, getting their shots to fall, getting into the lane like he needs them to do, or defensively, he's got tons of other guys behind him. You know, I'm really curious to see what kind of minutes Remy Abel pulls this season, because he's going to be fighting with a lot of guys for some spots. And honestly, he has a strength off the dribble right now when you add his ball handling into it and just his physical strength. I mean, the kid has gotten huge this summer. I think Remy's going to be a surprise. Overall, though, the biggest X factor on this team, it's got to be Christian Watford. I mean, this is a guy who was a legitimate NBA pick last year, you know, at least according to some, and he chose to come back. So Watford made this his contract year. And as such, he's going to have to bring it. You know, we know he's capable of double-double nights on a regular basis. He's just got to come out there and do it this season. He's got to show up. He's got to play like we saw at the end of the season where he just went on a tear. You know, those instances like we had where he just kind of disappears and checks out from the team for a while. You know, I think in Nebraska last year, he's got to put that stuff behind him, because if he wants to elevate his draft stock, especially on a team where there's going to be so many more options, and he may not be showcased as much, he's going to have to find a way to make himself the number one option on the court. I think, honestly, it's hard to say that IU has a you know, you can look at him and Cody. Both of those guys have to be A options. You know, I know Crean said he's going to emphasize trying to run the ball through Cody more this season, and that may mean bringing him out to the high block. But if so, that's going to make Watford probably Cody's number one option, because he's going to be the one that. So I think this year it's got to be Watford. If he can set, as far as a championship team, I think he's really, his level is going to determine just how far this team goes.
Can I throw one more name out there?
Who's that? Sure.
This guy, I feel like, has been brought up as the breakout guy for the last 2 years, and still we haven't seen it, and I'm not sure if we'll ever see it. What's your take on Derek Elson?
I'm sorry. I got hung up there for a second. You said breakout. I thought you were. Never mind. I think Elson's going to have to come out and show it this year. He's got some minutes in front of him. I mean, if Green wants to go big, there's a spot for him playing next to Cody, I think. Moving Watford to the three where he prefers to play, it makes stuff a lot more crowded at the two. He's just going to have to come out and you know, Derek's got to be, whether or not he's in the offensive game. And with Derek, I think that's often what happens is, when his offense isn't clicking and he's not getting involved offensively early, he struggles some on defense. He's got to go out there and impose himself. I mean, the kid's gotten huge as well this year. I saw him recently off campus at a restaurant, and he's just enormous. He's just physically imposing. And if he can go out there and play with it, it's my understanding he's been healthy, and I know that's been viewed by some as an excuse for his play, but honestly, I think that's a big part of it. He's had the abdominal issues. He came to IU rehabbing from a knee injury. If he can hit his stride this year, you know, I think he should be looking at about 15 to 18 minutes a game, but if he can be solid, there's no reason he shouldn't be flirting with double-doubles on occasion.
Well, there's plenty of options for who could be the biggest X factor of this year, but Chronic, you're going to have to choose between Greg and I. Who are you going with for our choices? Greg had Oladipo, I had Mo Creek.
You know, I think as far as significance for the team, I'm going to have to go with Greg on that one with Oladipo. I think when his play is elevated and he's just firing on all cylinders, I think he brings a whole lot more. I think the fact that Crean's probably going to have him as a starter in some fashion or some spot at least, his contributions are probably going to be bigger for the overall success. So we'll give a point to Greg there.
So, you know, between me, Victor, and Maurice, who's the best DC person?
That's not worth acknowledging. Greg,
in the DMV pool, I'm going to take a one arm Kenny Johnson over Greg Rosenstein.
This is the DC Hoosiers we got going right now. In a few years, you might see an all DMV team.
It's getting pretty thick up in here. I'll say this much: Kenny is a big dude.
Yeah,
big, big dude. He would back you down one-handed, Greg, with no problem. Speaking of big dudes, let's talk about the handsome here for a second. Going into it, everybody's got their eyes on Cody, National Player of the Year, just the prodigal son of Indiana. Does he or does he not win Player of the Year?
Greg, you want to start this one off? You want me to?
I could start. I'm going to say yes, and which automatically makes me win the debate between me and Matt.
Well played. All right, my turn.
Oh, no. Now I'm going to say Cody wins because he's the best player on the best team in America, and you know there's really not a more skilled big man in the country. I think the only guy that comes to mind right now is Doug McDermott from Creighton, who's equally as valuable, but Creighton's probably not going to be anywhere near as good as IU is. You know, I think Cody basically did everything in the post last year. He's the top threat on this team when you look down low. I think if he adds a little more to his mid-range game and he adds weight, which it looks like he did, there's really not any big man that I feel like can stop him. And I think, you know, by all accounts, it seems like Crean's going to once again try to run the offense through Cody Zeller. And I expect another big year out of him. I think the big question is, you know, last year it seemed like every time he touched the ball, he did something important and was able to score. And the problem was this team couldn't get him the ball enough. So if they can get him the ball enough this year, I think he's, you know, almost going to be unstoppable.
See, now, Greg,
what do you think?
I was going to say, Greg, my argument for why he won't be Player of the Year is kind of similar to your reason why he is going to be Player of the Year. I think because he is the best player on the best team in the nation, he's not going to win Player of the Year because I just don't think he's going to put up the stats to win the award. I think, for the most part, since IU is such a deep team and since I'm guessing they're going to win a lot of games easily this year, I just don't think he's going to be on the floor enough to get the stats to warrant that award. And like you mentioned, Doug McDermott, you look at other top players around the country, Shabazz Muhammad, Isaiah Cannon, Trey Burke, I think all of those teams and that those players, their success is heavily, you know, dependent on how those guys play. If Zeller doesn't play well, IU can still win any game. If Zeller got hurt, heaven forbid, IU would still be a pretty good team. So, you know, I think the only reason Cody wouldn't win Player of the Year is just because the Hoosiers don't need him to win Player of the Year. I think, Greg, you're pretty familiar with this. Your Nationals resting Strasburg, resting their best player, obviously hurt them. But I think Crean's going to be pretty cautious of how much Cody plays. I don't think he's going to wear him out. I think he's going to try and keep him fresh, you know, for later in the season for the Big Ten campaign. So nothing against Cody Zeller. Obviously think he's the best big man in the country. But because of IU's depth and because of the talent on the team, you've got the freshmen who are going to want to, you know, you're going to want to see. I don't think he's going to win Player of the Year.
You had to bring up the Nationals. You had to. I did not bring that up in this podcast.
It'd been like 10 minutes, so in my defense, that was pretty good.
Everything goes back to DC's failures here on a high stage. It's the curse. What was it? Sports Illustrated? Who was it that put them on the – no, ESPN the magazine.
ESPN and Sports Illustrated had something in the last week, and then RG3 gets a concussion. I'm not even going to go into it. Let's talk IU basketball here.
They were cursed, Greg. Or the fact that just you're the fan of them. I don't know.
Are you guys mad you took the wrong quarterback? I think that's what it was.
Now it's getting ugly. The gloves are off.
Does he remember what day it is?
No, he does not. He does not.
Yeah, back to the debate here. There's logic to both of those. I think, obviously, the fact that we are so deep, I don't think IU has to showcase him as much. And like you said, Matt, I don't know that's really the type of offense that Crean wants to run right now. So I think there will be other players that get more eye-popping numbers. I mean, honestly, he's probably, you know, 5 points a game and three or four rebounds shy, as far as his averages, shy of that type of status. That said, though, in the event that this team is able to make a deep, deep tournament run and can win a championship this year, the spotlight's on him all the way. So that would certainly aid his cause. So, again, I think the proper answer here is it depends on just how far he can take this team, because ultimately this team's success or failure will probably be hoisted on his shoulders. Whether it's fair or not, when you're the guy, that's kind of how it goes. So, again, I think I'm going to give you guys both a point for that, because I think there's very valid arguments for both. And I think that puts Matt up a half a point at this level. I'm not sure exactly what that adds to. Like I said, math is
tough.
Yeah. Math is tough. Math I'm borrowing tough. The Ryan plan on math here.
Those numbers do sound correct, though. I think I am in the lead. Yeah, that sounds good. All right. So.
You know, it adds up at the end. I just don't know the details. But
yeah, that's right.
That seems to work these days. This week's huge, huge week this year. Obviously, we talked about it earlier. Hoosier Hysteria coming up. It's almost like a religious festival in Bloomington. And this year, it's all that and then some. What would you guys do if you were in charge of Hoosier Hysteria? How would you run the event? What changes would you make? What would make it a better event for you guys from a fan standpoint?
Well, you know, if I was in charge of Hoosier Hysteria, the first thing I would do would be to go back to calling it Midnight Madness. I've never been a big fan of the Hoosier Hysteria moniker. I understand that Midnight Madness also comes with a midnight tip-off. But who doesn't like staying up really late one night for the first practice of college basketball season? I mean, that's a tradition, and IU is all about tradition. So it's kind of surprising that they have changed that in recent years. I understand you want to cater to other audiences and everything, but, you know, staying up till midnight, bringing your canned food to Assembly Hall and watching the Hoosiers practice is a tradition. And, you know, I kind of think that IU should go back to that. I think IU more or less has been trying to do, and don't kill me for this, what Kentucky's been doing for Midnight Madnesses. You know, we've got the players coming out to their favorite songs. We've got the smoke machines, the flashing lights.
Wait. Are you saying somebody on our team actually likes U2?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay, I was going to say, name me one player on this team that has Where the Streets Have No Name on their iPod.
Okay, here's where I'm going with more. I want to see in my Midnight Madness practices, less 2 Chainz, more 3-Man Weave. How's that? Is that so much to ask?
I can get down with that.
Yeah, I just want to see, you know, more of the tradition showcased in these practices. But if we were going to incorporate one new element, I've got something I'd like to see, and it also incorporates the past. Let's have some alumni scrimmages at the end of the game. Let's get the current Hoosiers going against Chris Reynolds, Corey Barnett, Eric Sewer, Calbert Chaney, whoever's around town. Let's get those guys to put on the shorts one more time, see them get some run against the new guys. I think fans would love to see some of their old favorite players suit up one more time at Assembly Hall. And, you know, it's a friendly game. No one's going to be taking any charges. No one's going to be, you know, breaking any ankles. Just a fun game. Kind of get some old personalities back involved. What do you think, Greg?
And unlike a few years ago when they faced Straight No Chaser and lost, I think this team will fare well against whatever long team faces them. but I agree with you. I actually like that alumni idea. I don't really have too many specific ideas here, but I am a fan of the Flash, and I know people are going to hate me for this, but I do like what Kentucky is doing, or, you know, Michigan State had Tom Izzo dress up as Iron Man. I don't know. I think it brings a lot. And, you know, a few years ago, I remember the main attraction was Martha the Mop Lady singing the fight song. It's like too old school. Like, I know people, you know, who watch this team in the 50s enjoys it, but for me, I don't really care that much about how much the fans love it, because I'm 100% about the recruits liking it. And, you know, you look this year, and you got BJ Anya, you got Troy Williams, Jaquan Lyle, a lot of guys coming in. Stanford Robinson, who's committed, is going to be there. I want them to feel like this is a place that they're going to like. Because you go to Kentucky and places like that, and you got them feeling like rock stars. And, you know, I saw Kentucky this year had, you know, their screen be a projector screen and showing all this cool stuff. I mean, I don't necessarily think we need 2 Chainz or, you know, the best rapper in America, Wale, performing.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, we don't want to pull Syracuse where people are getting stabbed. But I think that, you know, you want the recruits to feel like this is a cool place, not necessarily a place kind of stuck, you know, too much on tradition. So I'm more a fan of kind of, you know, catering to them a little bit, because really Midnight Madness is just a way to get recruits pumped up.
Greg, going with the controversial no stabbing preference. All right. Interesting.
You know, On this one, Dolly, you have the better answer, but the fact that you referenced an alumni game, which I do love, and didn't lead with Tijon,
well,
that's a half point. You just lost a half point on that one.
God, that's so fair, I can't even be mad.
Rosie, any suggestion that we do anything to mimic Kentucky, you automatically lose. I'm sorry. I get where you're coming from. I do. kids like blingy things and loud music and all that. I understand that, but I think you have to understand why fans are there. You know, it's sure it's a fun event to kick off the season, but at the end of the day, the product is Indiana basketball. And this year, more so than any in recent memory, we've got talent and we have tradition. Let's showcase and honor both of those things. You know, are there things they can do to kind of spruce it up? Sure. But like I mentioned with the U2, you know, it's a great moment when the spotlights come on and the house lights go down and, you know, the music kicks on and it's great. That's a lot of excitement. Maybe U2 is not the choice you have playing in the background. You know, maybe you find something. Do you necessarily need Drake or Jay-Z in the stands? That probably wouldn't hurt, but I don't want that to be the reason why our fans come there. You know, more than anything, I think for Hoosiers there, if they really wanted to improve it for me, just keep the thing flowing. Mm. You know, it's there's so much buildup to it. And then depending on how it's scheduled, you know, some seasons we have to wait through the women's practice goes on first, or what have you. And then once the men's teams comes out, it's very disjointed as they transition from, you know, event to event before they finally work into the scrimmage. More than anything, just keep the thing moving, keep it exciting. You know, we've got shooters out the wazoo this year. This may be the dunkinest team in D1 across the bench. You know, this team has tremendous ability to play above the rim. If you want to do some of that, during the ESPN broadcast last week, they were doing some, I think it was 3-on-2s. And it was just dunk after dunk after dunk as guys were attacking the basket. Mm. You give me some of that, I'm going to leave there a happy man. You know, all the dressing and everything else around it, it's fun. You know, maybe we can update it. You know, my thought was maybe you do get somebody to come in beforehand and play a concert. The alumni game would be an awesome thing. Although I think there might be rules on how those things can be promoted, if rules. I recall correctly. Huh. I think if it's in conjunction with a D1 event, then there's a whole litany of restrictions that apply. I know Kentucky had to do a dance around it when they have their alumni game. Mm. That's why it's separate from anything that the team itself does proper. So I don't know, you know, this year, just let the boys play, let them scrimmage. I actually really enjoyed the ESPN thing, just seeing them go through drills. If you want to do some of that and watch them work and sweat, I'm fine with that too. That used to be what Midnight Madness was about, was go out there and be what, you know, bust your butt for the fans and show them how hard you're willing to work for the season. So pomp and circumstance is nice. I will say this much though, they need to get the band more involved. That is one thing about IU's tradition that I have been missing a lot lately is as we've gone more to the canned music, our band has had to take more of a back seat. And I think that's a bad thing. We've got one of the best bands in the nation. They're fun as all get out. I certainly wouldn't mind picking some new songs for them to play, just to spruce it up. But it, you know, their set list is fine by me. I'm actually really looking forward to the sound of them warming the hall up as I walk in. That's one of my favorite experiences is you're coming out of the tunnel and you hear them playing in the background just as the gym starts to open up to you as you come out of the tunnel. So 1 point deduction for Rosenstein.
I didn't say Dolly, like you lost a half, having boosters pay players. I'm just saying, you know, flash it up a little bit.
Yeah, but you know, I think at the end of the day, that's kind of what you're doing. It's all that recruiting influence that isn't part of the program. You know, Jay-Z didn't go to school there. Drake didn't go to school there. LeBron didn't go to school there. Their allegiances are just because they're popular and they're rich. So, end of that one. You know, speaking of the hype and everything going into this, what do you guys make of the IU's preseason ranking this season? Is this a good thing for the Hoosiers? Is it a bad thing for the Hoosiers? Greg, start us off on this.
Okay. I'd say it's a good thing because, you know, really the only downside is people are going to be gunning for you all year. And until you lose that first game, all eyes are going to be on you. So it might add a little bit of pressure to a team that really hasn't necessarily been there. I know they made the Sweet 16 and we're ranked, but, you know, this is the first year that every eye is going to be on them. But I think in the end, I think being preseason number one is a good thing. It probably adds confidence to these players. They know that people think that they can go far and the expectations are big. So I think in the end, it's a good thing for confidence. And also, you know, again, I am like all about recruiting here. And I did a little recruiting stuff for Inside the Hall this year. You know, you talk to these players and you say, what do you think about IU's number one preseason ranking? And everyone gets, you know, excited about that. I don't know if anyone really gets excited if they were, say, number four in the country or something. But being preseason number one is a big deal for this team and also kind of looking down the road at players who are considering Indiana. So in the end, I think having the preseason number one ranking is a good thing. Matt, what do you think?
Well, I totally understand your argument for recruiting. I'm not going to argue against it. But I'm a man of superstition, and I just don't like seeing that number one next to IU at the beginning of the season. I feel like when you start number one, you don't always end number one. And actually, I looked back over the last 5 years, and only one team in the last five seasons has started the season number one and ended the season number one. So there is a little, you know, empirical evidence there that it's not always great to start number one. I just kind of wish IU was a little bit more under the radar. Maybe number two, number three, number eight, something like that. Just so they didn't have that giant Cody Sellers-sized bullseye on their back. You know, it's going to be unfamiliar territory for IU to be the favorite in games. It's been a long time since they've been a favorite in games. And, you know, that'll be a little bit different. I don't know if they'll necessarily struggle with it, but it will be something they'll have to get used to. I mean, most teams that play them now, especially these first, you know, 15 games or so, this is their Final Four, their chance at IU, their chance to slay Goliath. So it's a little bit of a role reversal there. But, you know, I don't think it's an overall bad thing, but I wouldn't mind IU not being the preseason number one. I think there is some extra pressure there. It's undeniable.
Do you think it would be any different, though, if we were number two ranked and we came in with Cody as the preseason number one as far as how teams approach us with the bullseye that we would carry?
No, not that much. You're right. But I just think being the team, the number one, you know, is just carries a little extra weight. You know, we're here, and maybe just because we're an Indiana podcast, but Louisville and Kentucky, I think, are the consensus two and three. And I feel like we're not hearing quite as much hype about them going into the season, even though they might be just as good of teams.
I think everybody's waiting to see whether or not Kentucky's roster can be declared eligible.
Right.
Or whether or not Geno kicks anybody off the team before the season starts to make room for the next guy down the road. You know what else carries a lot of weight, Dolly?
Hmm.
A big sack. And in this case, I think there's nothing wrong with that. It's time to sack up. Wear it with pride. You know, like
yeah.
I said, whether we're number one, number two, or number three, we are, in my opinion, the best basketball team in the land. Although Louisville made it farther last year in the tournament, I think we fared far better against Kentucky on both occasions. That would have been that matchup right there is one of the reasons I'd love to see a championship series in the NCAA. Play the best out of three. I mean, if one game's good, why couldn't two or three be that much better? Because I'd love to see IU in a series against Kentucky last year. I think we probably the only team in the country that would have a shot at beating them in a series. So going into it, yeah, I think we're the number one team. Is it a big deal for the team itself? I don't think so. Again, whether they're number one or number, you know, four, if anything else, it's better than being saying, oh, we're second best. Everybody knows they're a good team. They know that they're a good team. And I don't think it's going to change the way they work. The fact that we're number one rated this season. I think this team's going to go in there and they're going to give it all they have and they're going to prepare for it like they would whether they were one or unranked and picked to finish 10th in the Big Ten again this season. I think that's what's got them here, and I don't think the leadership on this team is going to let them get away from that. I'm not talking Crean and what he's telling the guys at the ESPN desk last Friday. I don't think the players on the team are going to let that happen. I don't think they're going to let it get to their heads. Cody's extremely humble, but he's extremely driven. You know, Jordy and Victor and Sheehy for that matter. And I think, you know, his kind of quirky nature compared to the rest of the team. And I think even the team views Sheehy that way. I think they know he's kind of a little off in as much as he's not your typical dude. You know, I was there last season when they came back from the Sweet 16. I actually did a little snippet of it, on the blog. And Sheehy said, you know, we're not happy with this and you shouldn't be either. You should expect more. You guys deserve that much. So I'm going to have to go with Rosenstein on that one. I think if you're that good, not wear number one with pride, and be prepared to back it up. You got to watch the throne here this season. So point to Rosenstein on that one. Dolly, you got to have more sack, man.
You're clearly drunk with power, which is what I call Jameson.
Not yet. Now, if we'd have done this a couple nights ago, I would have been the most powerful man on earth. Speaking of powerful, there is a lot of powerful teams in the Big Ten this season. It's going to be a really strong year for the conference, top to bottom once again. And while IU's pick to finish on top, there's certainly a lot of guys lurking in the shadows. Who do you think is going to be the biggest threat to IU in the Big Ten race this year? Matt, why don't you start with this one?
All right. Well, there are a couple teams who will challenge IU, no doubt. I'm going to go with Ohio State. You know, the Buckeyes lost Jaren Solger and some other guys, but they are going to be tough once again. And I think they're going to be IU's toughest competition. Finally, DeShawn Thomas gets to be their official go-to player after pretending to be their go-to player for the last couple of years. He'll actually get to be the center point of the offense, and I think he's going to thrive. I think he's going to be a tough matchup for IU. I think he's a little bit bigger than Oladipo and Sheehy, so they are going to struggle to defend him a bit. Aaron Kraft is probably the best point guard in the Big Ten, and we saw what Lenzell Smith Jr. can do against the Hoosiers last season, so probably shouldn't count him out either. I looked at the schedule, and IU plays Ohio State twice, and including the second-to-last game of the Big Ten season. So that game might end up deciding the Big Ten title. So I'm going to go with the Buckeyes as the toughest competition in the Big Ten.
Greg, what's your thoughts?
I like Ohio State a lot. I think DeShawn Thomas is a great post player, and I think Aaron Kraft, like you said, he might be the best point guard in America in terms of, you know, he's probably the best lockdown defensive perimeter player in America. He's really strong, you know, IQ-wise. You rarely see him make a mistake. With that said, I think Ohio State has, you know, the potential to be, you know, one of the top teams in America, but you got like Sam Thompson, Lenzell Smith, who are solid, but, you know, they didn't play that much last year. Amir Williams will probably start at the center position with, you know, down low with Thomas, but, you know, he was a former McDonald's All-American at the same time. He really hasn't lived up to any of his billing. So, you know, they have the potential to be great, but I don't think they're as, you know, as much of a lock as some people think. With that said, I would probably go Michigan. I think Trey Burke is a great, great point guard. He has the potential to maybe even challenge Cody for the top player in the Big Ten. At the same time, Hardaway has been really solid since he's been at Michigan. He's a great shooter. And I like Jordan Morgan down low. I think he might be the most underrated post player in the conference. And at the same time, they bring in a top recruiting class with Mitch McGarry, Glenn Robinson. So I don't know. I just think Michigan and Ohio State are pretty close, but I think you kind of know a little more of what you're going to expect out of the Wolverines this year, maybe compared to Ohio State.
You know, I think it's going to be tough to beat Ohio State, in my opinion. I think the one thing about Wisconsin, Greg, I'm sorry, about Michigan is there's a lot of youth on that team. And while there's certainly a lot of talent, you've got a lot of guys that are going to be kind of new to this, and especially coming into the Big Ten, I think it's no secret that this is it's a whole different world than what a lot of these guys have ever played in. Very physical, very grinding. It's night in, night out. There's a lot of talent in the league across the board. You're going to find some matchups that just don't fit your team well. I think Beilein may struggle kind of getting everybody in sync. Ohio State's probably be my pick to finish second in the conference. But I think as far as IU's particular path to the Big Ten championship, and I don't think you can understate that enough this year. It's been a decade since IU won a Big Ten championship. This needs to happen this year, no matter how far we go in the tournament. Obviously we want to go to, get to Atlanta. I think a Big Ten championship needs to be this team's primary, you know, their first stated goal. Obviously the end result being a national championship banner. I think our biggest obstacle in the way there, probably going to be Michigan State. I think if we split with Ohio State and Michigan, we are still in the driver's seat for the Big Ten tournament. For the Big Ten championship, which I'd like to win that tournament as well this year. We'll see if Green wants to rest his players or go for it. But I think Michigan State winning both those games, not taking a loss against them this season, will probably be one of the biggest factors in whether or not we ultimately add another year to that Big Ten banner. That being said, though, and we play them twice, Green has yet to beat Wisconsin, and that could be one of those games. If it's a tight race at the end of the season, we could look back at a loss against Wisconsin and kind of point to that as a game that we probably could and should have won, but maybe didn't. You know, this team's got to figure out how to win a grind them out half court game like Wisconsin likes to play, where you have to play defense for the entirety of the shot clock, every single trip down court on the defensive end. I think if we can adjust to that type of play, I think that says a lot about where this team's defense is and where its fundamentals are across the board. So I'm going to give Dolly the point on that one, though. I think ultimately Ohio State will probably finish higher than Michigan in the conference standings. Obviously, though, banners are the reason that we're coming here, or that we're all talking about this season. What do you think it's going to take for IU to get a banner? I mean, what is the biggest hurdle it's got to overcome in order to finally hang that championship banner, which it's now 25 years since we last put one up in the hall.
For me, I would probably go just defense overall. I think we know this team is the firepower to kind of keep up with any team in the conference, probably any team in the nation. I mean, their offensive efficiency was one of the best in the country last year, and I think when you add Yogi and you add the other freshmen to it, it's an upgrade. So you know they could score. I think my biggest question is, can they lock down defensively? You kind of lost height by losing Verdell Jones and putting Yogi in there, but he might be a better on-ball defender than Verdell was. And you know, last year, IU was 10th in the Big Ten. They allowed 66 points a game. They were 8th in terms of steals and also 8th in terms of three-point field goal percentage. So, you know, especially on the perimeter, I think that's going to be key. But just overall, they need to just improve the defense. Because if they could become one of the, you know, at least the Big Ten's upper half teams in terms of overall defense, I think there's no doubt that they're going to win the conference and potentially win a national title.
What do you think their biggest, specifically in defense, though, Greg, what do you think is the one element of the defense that they've got to improve upon the most this year?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like I said, like, I just think, like, up top, I think it's just a big question mark whether, you know, that if you put Holes and Oladipo, or if you put Holes and Yogi together, can they do a good enough job on the opposing guards? Because, you know, you look at even Ohio State, you know, Aaron Kraft is a pretty big guard, same with Lenzel Smith if he's at the two. So I just think, like, you know, can they handle bigger guards? But at the same time, kind of like we touched on earlier, you're probably going to have Victor no matter where he plays, even if he plays the two or the three, you're going to have him maybe go against their best guy. So I don't know. I think perimeter defense is probably the key out of all of it.
Matt, where's your head at?
You know, yeah, defense is definitely a compelling argument, but I think the biggest challenge this year for the Hoosiers and the biggest key to them winning a title is going to be managing minutes and rotations and finding the right lineup combinations. This was where I was going to unveil my new 9-9-9 plan where the Hoosiers each play 9 minutes, all wear the number 9 for 9 minutes at a time. It makes about as much sense as Herman Cain's. But, you know, I just think that the biggest problem is going to be finding the right combinations. It's obvious that the Hoosiers have enough talent to win a championship. The question is, who are going to be the guys on the floor to win it for them? Who's going to start? Who's going to finish? Are we going to play quick, slow? You know, that's really what's going to be the ultimate, you know, key to IU winning. And I think it's a great problem to have. There's no question about it. No question about it. It's good. It's a good problem to have when you have too many guys and not enough minutes. It's the complete opposite of what's happened to IU the past few years. But the thing is, everybody on that team wants to win a title, and everybody wants to be the guy who helps them win a title. So I think, you know, with IU's roster, a lot of people are going to have to accept their roles, accept playing less minutes than they wanted. And, you know, just kind of focus on doing what it takes for IU to win games, put individual statistics aside. So it kind of goes back to why I don't think Cody's going to win Player of the Year. I just think that it's the biggest, you know, factor going in is having everybody contribute, having the right guys on the floor, and, you know, figuring out what IU's real strengths are and going from there.
You know, I think there's certainly a lot of weight to be given to both those as far as what they need to do. The defense, it's a big leap for them. And a lot of it, I think Greg's right on where it's up top. It's at the point of attack. You know, these guys have to show that they can't, that they're not going to get broken down, and force everybody into recover mode. That's when you start giving up too many easy looks. And this team's defensive efficiency, I think that's where it really suffered the most is when they got broken down, teams can move the ball and get the higher percentage shots on us. The thing with Yogi, though, is while he's certainly quick as a little get out, he may be the fastest guard we've seen since Isaiah Thomas. Can other teams go over top of him when they have equally skilled and athletic guards that are a lot longer than him? And I think going back to what you were saying, Matt, is, you know, this team's strength right now to me is obviously depth, but the skill and athleticism and especially the length going across the bench is going to be key. I mean, we have so much talent to choose from. I think the biggest thing for this team is going to be finding those combinations that not only, you know, that work well together, but that go hardest together. I'm really expecting, or I'd love to see this team kind of take on a Nolan Richardson, just 40 minutes of hell.
Yeah.
You go so deep that you can really platoon sub, just kind of like in hockey, and just keep bringing out fresh legs and just extend the game 94 feet on both ends, attacking, attacking, attacking. I don't know that there's another team in the nation that's going to be able to come close to just bringing on wave after wave. And Greg, let me correct you, man. We did lose Riddell. And as far as like time on the court, you know, we lost some length there. Overall, though, I think this team actually picked up on average height this season. And last year, we were one of the, we were the 14th largest, or longest teams in the nation as far as average height.
Hmm.
We're going to be able to play above the rim like nothing we've seen in Assembly Hall in a long, long time. So I think finding the guys, not just that work well together, but that are willing to keep their foot on the gas the entire game, I think that's really going to be paramount. And it's got to start on defense with these guys. They've got to play better as a unit. And that's, I think from a chemistry standpoint, that's really going to be the determining factor, is how quickly and which guys, and hopefully there's lots of guys that can work as interchangeable parts, find that chemistry on defense so that they know how to take care of each other when the breakdowns do happen. Because a lot of times we seem to go into struggle mode when we found ourselves having to recover from breakdowns. So if they can get that fixed, I think the sky's the limit for these guys. So I'm going to give you guys both a point on that one. I think those are both pretty valid answers. Who's been keeping math here? I was just moderating. I wasn't the scorekeeper.
I have been keeping perfect math over here, and I think I believe I win by half a point. Does that sound correct to you guys?
No.
Yeah, you know what? The fact that Rosie just said emulate Kentucky in any fashion, that alone, he lost the debate there.
Sorry. That was it that early in the
debate. I'm sure you guys also think Andrew Locke is the rookie of the year right now, so I don't take any of this with a grain of salt.
You know, we've only done an hour so far. I could do a second hour on that if you want.
We could do a DC bashing podcast sometime and take 2 hours.
We'll put that on the premium form.
Let's put it on the premium form.
That'll be a special edition. So, Chronic, you declaring a winner?
I'm going to give it to Dolly on this one by a nose.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. You know, I could not have done it without all of you.
Well, Greg, I could have done it without you. So.
You could have done it without me. You were an admirable opponent. Great fight. You just didn't bring your best stuff today.
I don't even know what to say on that.
Well, Chronic, really appreciate you moderating our little debate. It did get ugly at times for both of us, but thanks for keeping things cordial, and thanks for dropping by with your 2 cents. I can't believe it had been 6 months since we'd done an episode and heard from you, so we're going to have you back throughout the season once again. I know you're as excited as we are for the upcoming year.
I am always happy to be here and excited like I've never felt before. That being said, you guys both need to make a point to try to get back to B-Town sometime this year and just take it in personally. You guys being former IDSers and what you covered during your days over there, it's one of those things where I think you really should make it, if you can, try to get back and experience it firsthand. Maybe take the journalist hat off for a change and kind of soak it in from my perspective. Because I think this season's going to be something that we tell our kids about.
I'm trying to get back at some point, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to head up to New York for the Legends Classic to see them beat UCLA or Georgetown. So, I don't know. I'm hoping to get back to Bloomington because I love Assembly Hall.
Those games up in the Barclays Center, though, would be pretty sweet to go to. So, yeah, I'm coming back in November, so I will be there. But I will have to be with you just in spirit until then. But, Chronic, once again, man, thanks for coming on the show. Greg, thanks for debating once again. And thanks to everybody for listening. Like we said, we're looking forward to another season. We're looking forward to hearing from you guys. Let us know who you want on the show, what you want to hear, and we'd be happy to oblige. But until then, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week after Hoosier Hysteria to recap all the events. Until then, for Greg Rosenstein, I'm Matt Dollinger. Have a good one.